Right. As I mentioned, we are joined right now by a forward for the Orlando Magic. He's in his third NBA season. 12 points, 7 rebounds, 2.4 blocks, and 1.5 steals per game this season. He was an ACC All-Freshman player at Florida State. He was the 6th pick overall in 2017. He is Jonathan Isaac. Jonathan, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good. Listen, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about, including this season and your growth as a player, but let me rephrase that. First off, how are you and your family doing at this time?
Appreciate that, Jim. Everybody's good. My mom lives about 30 minutes from me here in Orlando. Probably about every 3 days I go out there and hang out with her and my little brother. So everybody's safe. Thank God for that. How about you?
Good, good. I appreciate you asking, too. Everything's good here, too. Trying to do the right things, make some good decisions. Everybody is safe,
yep.
And I appreciate that. Jonathan Isaac is my guest. So last week, you announced that you were going to get involved in coronavirus relief efforts, and in particular, you were looking out for kids who might go hungry as a result of not being at school and eating while they are there. So why was that a cause that touched your heart and made you want to take action?
Well, it was a cause that was brought to my attention. So I didn't just sit around and think about it. It was brought to my attention by Dr. Daron Hepburn. He is the pastor at Jump Ministries Global Church and one of the founders of an organization called Project Life. And they brought it to my attention. I attend that church. So I just tried to jump on board and do whatever I could to push it. So they've been feeding kids in the city of Orlando for about 2 weeks now. And last Friday was the first time that they gave a box of non-perishables out to families in need that should last them about a week. So they give about 200 boxes out. Every day has been about 200 kids getting fed, and it's just continuing to grow the more and more the word is getting out.
You know, that's so great. You put out the word on Monday, or the Monday through Friday. Anybody who is 18 or younger can go to Jump Ministries for a free breakfast and lunch. So now that this has been put into action, what's it mean to be able to step in and help fill that gap like that? What's that feel like to you?
It's awesome, man. It's honestly what it's all about. Like, you know, we feel like we've been blessed to be a blessing, and in this time, where everybody's kind of afraid and everybody's, you know, frantically running around, we just want to stand in faith and stand in the gap for the community and make sure that everybody in Orlando gets through this time, you know, in one piece. So the families that aren't able to go out and buy 2 weeks of food in advance, you know, those are the people we're trying to look out for.
I think that's great. Jonathan, also a number of your teammates are stepping up, guys like Mo Bamba, DJ Augustin, Aaron Gordon, and more. So they're also a part of that. So credit to them as well. Now, you've been dealing with an injury prior to the suspension of the season. What's it been like having the season put on hold the way it's been?
It's been a little tough, just not kind of just interrupting the routine of rehab. And I'm still able to do my rehab, but now it's at my place. And, you know, the trainers aren't really allowed to come over. So it's kind of all on me all day just to get my rehab done. But it's still going great. But yeah, that definitely does make it weird.
Man, it is weird. There's so many things about this that are weird, but you got to cope, you got to adapt, you got to improvise, and that's what the best are doing. Jonathan Isaac is my guest. Now, you were working your way back from the injury, and as you were doing that, Steve Clifford, the head coach, was talking about the fact that you were taking notes on every single game and that either he or the assistant coach, Pat Delaney, would talk with you about the game that you were seeing. So how critical were those sessions, and what did you learn during that time?
It's huge. Honestly, it's like when you play, you miss a lot of the little things. Like you think about the big shot. You think about the maybe the shots that were missed down the stretch, the shots that were made down the stretch. But you don't really see the little things that kind of add up to winning and losing. So being able to kind of just look at it from a different perspective and sit down with the coaches, they're like, no, this is the reason why we lost. That's the reason why we lost. Not that shot. Not that move. Yada yada. It's that. So just being able to zero in on that, it's like, wow, like, kind of opens up your mind. And when I am ready to come back, and if it's next season, like, okay, I'm going to be thinking a different way in terms of how we go about winning games.
Orlando Magic forward Jonathan Isaac joining us once again. And then last week you had this great piece in the Players Tribune talking about what it means to you to have gone to Florida State. Before we get into that part, I do want to go back even further. Something you wrote about: when you were growing up in New York, you were a huge fan of cheese fries. Where did you get them, and what made them so good?
You know, I'm not sure. They were just different. It was like the actual, like, cheese sauce cheese fries. Like, not like Kraft's cheese or, like, cheddar cheese or something like that. It was, like, the real cheese sauce. And once I had them, I was kind of hooked. It was bad. Like, I wouldn't eat anything else. Like, I would, like, argue with my pops. Like, I'm not eating anything else. And sometimes he would give in and just go get me cheese fries or he would make me eat something else.
Jonathan, so like if it was that bad, like if you would get into it, if you were to get into it with Pops, like no, I'm not eating anything else. What did you think when you found out that you were moving to Florida when you were 10 and you had to give up those cheese fries? What was that like?
Well, the kind of cheese fries kind of went to the background. It was more like, what the heck is in Florida? And finding all that out. So that was like a shock, and just moving to Florida all of a sudden. So I wasn't really, cheese fries wasn't really on my mind, but I definitely missed it.
All right. So when you were a basketball player growing up in New York, like what was that like? Was that something that you were really passionate about from the very beginning? Was that just something you do with your friends?
I didn't really hoop at all in New York. I played sometimes like at the rec center with my brothers, like after school, but that was it. I wasn't really a basketball fan. I wasn't like up on anything like that. It didn't start happening until I got to Florida.
Jonathan Isaac, my guest. All right, so you get to Florida and you start playing more and more and you're getting better and better. And all of a sudden now people are saying things like, hey, listen, you could play in the association one day. What was it like when you started to hear that? Did that feel real?
No, not at all. It was insane, honestly. Like, there were times where people would ask me, like, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wouldn't even say the NBA. And people were already telling me I would be in the NBA, but I couldn't say it because I really couldn't believe it for myself. So it really just happened. Like, it wasn't something that I was necessarily pursuing. Just doors continued to open up for me, and I was like, this is all I did. I went to school and I just played basketball, and basketball just continued to take a life of its own until I got to the league.
We're talking to Jonathan Isaac. Like, maybe you didn't see it initially, but everybody around you did, or the people who did. Like, you're getting recruited by big time programs and the coaches are telling you how they're going to build their offense around you and make sure that you can show off your talents before the draft. So what was it like when you first met Coach Ham? What kind of stuff was he telling you?
Coach Ham was awesome. In the beginning, I didn't really interact with Coach Ham that much. It was more so Coach Gates. And Coach Gates, like, in a matter of weeks, like, turned into, like, my big brother. And I'm the godfather of his son today. So that's kind of where our relationship has gone. But it was awesome. Like, I would have those conversations with different coaches, and it would all be about, man, NBA, basketball, basketball, basketball. But when I talked to Coach Gates, it was just real. Like, he wanted to know what was going on in my life, what I was struggling with, what was going on with females, and just all this different type of stuff. And I just grew to liking him a lot, and he was a big reason why I chose Florida State.
Jonathan Isaac, my guest. So then you move on to Coach Ham. You get there, and he, of course, is the head coach. This is a huge Coach Ham house. I love talking to him. I've got so much respect for him as a coach, as a man, as a leader. What was it like to play for him, and how much did you learn from him about both basketball and life?
Yeah, also, it honestly, taking away, looking back now, it was more so the life piece. The way he was on the court was the same way he was in life. Like, he was always just poised. He was always, taking it one day at a time, and you never get too high, never get too low. So I definitely took that away in life, but also just the men piece. Like, he was really concerned about us not just developing on the court, but developing as young men. And he would bring in this gentleman named Dr. Carr, who was a psychiatrist, but mostly just like team building. And it was we just all talked about just life and just what it is to be a man and all different types of stuff. So they were really conscious of, okay, we're trying to build NBA players, elite basketball players, but at the same time, contributing young men to the society that we're pushing them into.
Jonathan Isaac, my guest. So it sounds to me like you're having this amazing experience, and then after your freshman year, you're getting a lot of attention as a potential lottery pick, but you write that you did not want to leave school. What did the coaches say when you told them that?
They told me that they would pack my bag and that I had to leave campus. So that was a real conversation. Like, that was no joke. I went into coach's office. We had our kind of like end of the year meeting. They're like, you know, how are you feeling? What's on your mind? I'm like, honestly, coach, I think I want to come back just because, you know, I don't know that I'm ready. You know, I see my name on these draft boards, but, you know, I don't feel like I'm physically ready. I don't feel like I'm mentally ready. And they're like, cool story. You're going.
Wow. So, like, what was that like to hear that from them? That they didn't say, you know, maybe you should think about this, or we strongly urge this. They said, you're gone. You're going. What was that like to hear that?
You know, it was encouraging. So it kind of built my belief that, wow, like, if my coaches really, especially the college, like, so I understood, like, okay, most of the time, being real, the college coaches want you to come back because
right.
They want to win. They want to do something. So for them to have that much belief in me, it encouraged my belief. And it was like, wow, maybe I am ready and I should take this step. So it definitely helped me take the step and kind of go with the mentality of, okay, I can do this.
Now, I mentioned the Players Tribune piece. The overall point of that piece was a message to the current players at Florida State, the guys who had an amazing team this year, and they had a chance to make a really deep run in the NCAA tournament, but they're not going to get that chance, obviously. What are you hoping that they take away from your message?
Well, honestly, it was to the Florida State guys, but honestly, just everybody, like all of the college athletes that have their season cut short. It was more so focused on, man, the greatness is not in the end. The greatness is in the journey. So they were able to build a legacy, especially at Florida State, that's continued to get better and better and better. I remember when we started playing, there were barely any fans, and we ended up not losing a home game when I was there. And towards the end of the season, you couldn't find a seat in the arena. So they've continued to carry that torch and make a legacy for themselves. And just speaking to all of the college athletes who really need some love right now with everything being cut off, it's just like really find that significance and that value in the season that you had, even though the end is cut short. So I just wanted to make sure those guys were encouraged. And I know it, at the end of the day, it's a piece, and I'm not really feeling what they're feeling, but I just wanted to.
Jonathan Isaac,
made a legacy for yourself.
I'm sorry to jump in there. I lost you for a moment. Legacy is the key word here. Legacy really is the important word. Like, a big part of that message, of course, is legacy and impact. So when it's all said and done, what would you like people to say about your legacy and your impact at Florida State and with the Orlando Magic?
Oh, well, honestly, I want to be a great basketball player, absolutely. But I want to be seen as the man more than the game. My faith is in Christ, and I feel like that's my foundation. So I want to be somebody that embodies that. I want, when people look at me, that they don't just see a basketball player, but they see somebody that believes what he says and walks out what he says. So if I'm going to say that I believe in Christ, then I'm a man of faith, and it doesn't make me perfect, but it means that I'm going to strive towards that ideal. I want that to be seen and acknowledged by the people around me. So I definitely want to leave that legacy for myself, for my kids, for the people that watch NBA basketball. It's not just the game. And even with this COVID-19 effort, it's like this goes way past the game. So all the guys in the league, all the guys around the world that are stepping up and doing things, it just takes it past basketball, where we do love the game, but at the end of the day, it's about people.
I would imagine, Jonathan, as you go right now, before I let you go, you probably brought this message out, right? This is not just about ballers. This is not just about athletes. When we talk about things like legacy and impact, this applies to literally every single person listening right now, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was listening to something yesterday, but it was somebody talking about just like, we see greatness in certain people and we kind of idolize that greatness, but there's greatness in everybody and what you're doing. And anywhere. So you can be great in what you do if you are striving towards an ideal that makes you better and that helps the people around you. So not just the NBA players that are stepping up that are great. The people that are encouraging other people during this time are great. The people that are continuing to go out and be nurses and on the front lines of doctors are great. Everybody who is providing for their families and making sure they're safe are great in this time. So we all share in this greatness.
Wise beyond his years. He's a third-year player, a forward with the Orlando Magic. Jonathan Isaac, my guest. Jonathan, I appreciate you very much. So good to get caught up, and I really appreciate you coming on the show once again.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks a lot.
My man, have a great day. Really great message, too. Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic. And this is not a coincidence. We're trying to find as many really uplifting, positive people as we can at this time. And there's somebody else for you.